title, Three IMs of Paul, we read in Romans chapter 1. If you have your Bibles there, in Romans chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I am debtor. You might want to underline that. I am debtor. Both to the Greek and to the barbarian, the civilized, the uncivilized, if you would. Both to the wise and the unwise. And those who have gone to school, those who haven't gone to school. So as much as in me is, and then here's the second one. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And then 16, we have an additional I am. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, it's very interesting. In the modern versions, they leave out of Christ. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm going to move to verse 17 now. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. I've had some exciting and some frightening experiences in my lifetime sharing the gospel. I remember when I was at my previous church that I made a call, and I can't remember whether it was with Linda. Were you with me when we visited Pat and Jack McWilliams? No. Okay, so I went and visited. He was the high school basketball coach, and his assistant coach was a believer and had shared the gospel with Jack, but there hadn't been any response, and so I went to the house, knocked on the door, and they let me in. And I've told you numerous times how I try and get a gospel message started. I followed the form, F-O-R-M. F stands for family. Most everybody likes to talk about their family, so I started talking about the family, and they had two kids at that time, and we talked about that. And then the O stands for occupation. I knew that he was a high school teacher and a basketball coach, so we talked about that. And then found out that in our lifetimes we both had been printers because Linda and I were in the printing business together for 7 years. We bought the Grand Trunk and Western Railroad print shop, and we printed because they were a full-time pastor, but they weren't able to pay us to keep care of the family, and so we were printing, and so I talked about occupation, we talked about printing. And then R stands for religion. So we talked about religion and the lack of it, the different kind, and I tried to get the conversation turned a little bit, and it didn't seem to be going well, and we'd been talking a long time. So I thanked them for letting me in, and I got up, and the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, just poked me because I didn't give him the message. We talked about family, F, occupation, O, religion, and left out the message. So as I got up, I started telling him how I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And his ears perked right up. I mean, we had a good conversation to that. But if I'd have walked out the door, the man wouldn't have trusted Christ. Before we left that evening, Jack came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he and his dear wife, they're some older than we are, but they've served the Lord Jesus Christ in coaching in Christian schools all the rest of their life and still are serving as they're able. They're about 10 years older than I am, so But I praise the Lord, I almost didn't share the message. The Apostle Paul says, I am debtor. That speaks of our obligation. He says, I'm a debtor to the Greeks, and they were the ones considered the civilized one. The barbarians were like the Anglo-Saxons, like the Britons. They were considered barbarians. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarian, both to the wise, the educated, and the unwise, the uneducated. See, it doesn't matter whether you're civilized or you're uncivilized, whether you're educated or you're uneducated, you still need to know the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word debt means that you have an obligation to fulfill. And the Apostle Paul, he realized that he had an obligation to fulfill. It was something that he believed that he must do. Paul believed that he was morally obligated to share Christ with all the people, regardless of whether what their status was or not. And why did Paul feel that he had that obligation? Well, you know, you've heard the saying, Christ paid a debt he did not owe, because we owe a debt we cannot pay. Paul was a sinner. You'll remember very clearly as you read about the Apostle Paul, he was really zealous. He was a really zealot for his religion. And he went after all these new Christians, and he had them thrown into prison. He had them beat, and he even gave his testimony against Stephen, one of the deacons and an evangelist. He was consenting to Stephen's death, but Christ paid Paul's debt. Christ met Paul, and man, oh man, was there a transformation in the Apostle Paul's life. He realized from where he came from and where he was headed for a Christless eternity in hell, and the Lord personally met him and said, you know, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I don't know whether that's ever happened to you, but I remember when I was in Haiti, I had this guy who was a show-off, and he wanted me to ride on his motorcycle, and I've told you the story, but the fact is that I tell him, I'll ride with you if you drive sanely. Well, that's why I don't ride with other people on motorcycle anymore, because of Steve. And This missionary Steve, he had this motorcycle, so we get on the motorcycle, and what does he do? He has to show off. And he pops the clutch on that thing, and while I'm bigger now than I was back then, he does a wheelie. I fall off the back right on my tailbone, and for months I had problems with my tailbone, but as I'm sitting there just hurting like crazy, I have to laugh because the motorcycle went bizarre and went into a hedge of prickers. And he comes out. Thankfully, it didn't get in his face, but he didn't have a shirt on. And he comes out, and he's poked all over the place, and he's bleeding. And I said, serves you right. But anyway, it is hard to kick against the pricks. The Apostle Paul was going to be used of God to reach the Gentiles, and he knew that he had a debt to pay. How thankful he was to come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You know, we owe a debt of gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you grasp the importance of that. That's one of the reasons I really love and encourage us to support the Alpha Women's Center. You know, those women that come in here, there's many of them who never in their life have they heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they come in here, a lot of them don't get trust in Christ, but I just read the recent letter and how many people have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's some that come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And really, when I'm talking about giving a testimony, I define a testimony this way. A testimony is one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. That's really it, you know. All of us are sinners, and we're only saved by what? By grace, except by the grace of God. There go I. I remember another time as I was giving a witness. I knocked on the door. I was going door to door with a buddy of mine, as has been my pattern throughout my ministry. And sometimes you have to learn to hone your skills a little bit when you're trying to testify to people. And she came to the door, and I told her who I was and where I pastored around the corner from where she lived. And I said to her, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you would spend eternity? I thought that that was a real good question. She got a real somber look on her face. She said, well, there's a cemetery around the corner, Haven Rest there, and my husband and I have two plots. Oh boy, that took me back a little bit. I thought she didn't get the question, but I did have the opportunity of sharing the gospel with her. And after I kind of picked my chin up off the ground, I explained what I was talking about and shared the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ with her and left gospel material. I cannot say that she trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, but she heard the message. You know, you can't win them all, but we can warn them. This is very interesting. If you were here a week ago Sunday morning, there was three girls. I think they were sitting over there, and I was watching them as we preached the gospel and preached the message a week ago Sunday. And then they asked me afterwards, they had a class project. They asked me afterwards if they could make an appointment to interview me. And I said, well, it's going to be a real busy week. I have extra studying to do for the Good Friday service. But if you got time right now, why don't we go and you ask your questions and I will answer them for you. Well, it's real interesting. They were from Evangelical Lutheran School, and they asked me in the first question, I said, well, I believe the same as Martin Luther does, that the just shall live by faith, but let me explain what that means. Then I was able to share the gospel with them and answer all their questions. They had about 15 of them. And then I gave them the little booklet, Have You Considered Life's Most Important Question? And I said, now I've answered all of your questions, but you got to promise me you'll read this little booklet, Have You Considered Life's Most Important Question? And I concluded it by saying this, and one of the things, as you're witnessing to people as well, I told them, it is not religion that is important, because religion won't get you to heaven. Their eyes kind of got big. And I said, here's the deal. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the thing. We're not trying to sell people on being Baptist. I think Baptist is a good thing. The reason I'm a Baptist is because they preached the closest to the Word of God when I was searching. I went to Pentecostals, and I've heard blubbering Pentecostals, and went to a staid Presbyterian church. I was at my Methodist church and all those things, but it was the Baptist who actually preached from the Bible and talked about the importance of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so Paul recognized the fact that he was a debtor, and that he needed to share the importance of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the things that I've found that happens a lot when I'm trying to witness to people, they try and get you off the track. Some of the questions that I've been asked, well, where did Cain get his wife? Well, he married his sister, for goodness sake. Can God make a rock bigger than he can lift? I mean, you get all kinds of crazy, oddball questions, and yet try and keep yourself on track sharing Jesus Christ. Sometimes I said, well, I'll answer some of those later, but I would like to continue on to tell you the story of Jesus. Because, you know, some of you have gone witnessing with me. We get into a house, go to witness to somebody, and some of the crazy questions that they answer. And you got to be careful. You got to be careful that you are not shocked. I remember getting into one house, and they're glad to see us, invite us to come and sit down, and then they ask me what kind of beer I wanted. And I said, well, I'll take a bottle of water or a glass of water if you got it. I didn't start preaching on alcohol because you know what they need? They need Jesus. They don't know anything any better. And I've also noted one of the reasons that I take people with me in twos and threes, because a lot of times when you get in to have a witnessing experience with somebody, I'll tell you what, all of a sudden, the animals will start going berserk. The devil doesn't like it. I've had, you know, I remember going in, and I can't remember whether it was Beverly who was with me or not. Beverly was a visitation partner for a number of years, but you know my love for cats. Well, at any rate, I think it was Bev, or it was one of the ladies, it might have been Diane, because the three of us would go in door to door a lot of times, and the cat was starting to act up. So what I did, it felt like wringing that cat's neck, but I didn't. I picked up the cat and petted the kitty, and while whoever it was who was witnessing got the gospel presentation out. So many times, the devil would like to bring in distractions, but try not to get distracted. Try and keep on the main focus and move forward, because you know, we do have a Savior who paid a debt that he did not owe, because we owe a debt that we could not pay. So like the Apostle Paul, you and I are debtors. The next thing that he says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15 is, I am ready. I am ready. That is the I am of determination and preparation. Paul was enthusiastic and eager to present the gospel because he knew that if a person doesn't recognize their need of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to go to a literal hell. And there's so many people who have been taught all their life that their good works can get them to heaven. Do you notice how many people you witness to, they think their good works are going to do it? Now, I wasn't in my Jerusalem or I wasn't in my Judea, but I was in my Samaria with Linda, and we were visiting her parents in Arkansas. And I was out walking. I was tired of sitting in the house, so I'm out walking. And there's this older gentleman in the neighbor, and I was looking at some donkeys across the road. And so I wandered over and waved to him, and he seemed friendly enough. So I went over to talk to him and found out that he was a general under Dwight David Eisenhower. And he was telling me all of the good things that he did in World War II. And I was talking to him about the Lord, and he was quite sure that because of all of the service to his country, that he was going to be able to make it to heaven. And when you're 91 years old, heaven isn't all that far away, one way or the other, regardless of how you slice it. But there was an opportunity to slip in there, and I shared with him how that it was not his good works that he had done, but I was thankful for his leadership under the five-star General Eisenhower during World War II, but that he needed Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. We bantered back and forth a little bit, but sometimes you can see the light go on. And one of the verses I shared with him was, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us by the washing of regeneration. And there in his driveway, the old 91-year-old retired general put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he jettisoned his works. Praise God. It was a blessing to see. I am ready. You know, we all know Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. But one of the things that's important when I'm talking about I am ready, you need to know enough of the scriptures that relate to salvation to be able to share with somebody, because I did not have a Bible with me. Now, I'm not saying that you have to quote chapter and verse, because some of the things that I shared with him, I would say, well, the Apostle Paul said, and then I would quote from some place where the Apostle Paul said, and you're pretty on pretty safe ground, because the Apostle Paul has written, you know, over half the New Testament, and so all of that sort of things. But if you're going to be ready to witness, you have to know enough of the word to witness. But I would remind you, don't use your not knowing the word of God for an excuse not to witness. Even if you only know John 3:16, you can be a witness, amen? You can. But you need to memorize some passages of Scripture that talks about sin, because before somebody can be found, they need to know that what? They're lost. Somebody who doesn't think that they're lost, somebody who doesn't think that they're a sinner, somebody who doesn't think that they've really done anything wrong, and I've witnessed to people like that, and then I'll say to them, well, that they'll say, well, I don't know the last time that I've committed a sin. And then I'll ask them if they've ever lied, and then they kind of laugh, but I said, you know, the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. So all I'm telling you is, you know, get a dozen scriptures and memorize them. And commit them to memory so that you can pull them out of your database, and so that you are ready to witness as God presents the opportunity to do that. You might not always have a gospel tract with you, but if you got it up here, you can get it out there. So the Apostle Paul was ready. You need to know enough of the Word of God to share with those that you're witness to, because while your story of how you came to know Christ is important, quote it with me, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so it is God's Word that the Holy Spirit uses to convict people. I am ready. And then the next one in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, for I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And here's why. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but some people hate the gospel. I don't know who was with me. I think it was Jackie and Sarah at this time. We were in Caddy Vista, and we go about every other year, every third year, and we go through Caddy Vista and knock on doors. And I knocked on this one door, and this lady, she went nuts. "Don't you see that the sign says no soliciting?" I said, "I'm not selling anything. I want to share with you the God." "Get off my property. I'm going to call the cops. They're going to come and arrest you." "It's okay. Call the cops." And I said, "We'll just take off and we'll be walking down the road. You get off my property right now." There's some people who just do not want to hear the truth of the gospel. And why is that? Well, there's several reasons for that. Number one, they could be living in sin. Sinners love what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. I've told you what happened to me in Hastings, Michigan. Some people have been offended by a preacher or something like that, and they're really hostile. I was in Bible college and going on with two other people, and we're going door to door handing out literature and gospel tracts, and we go on to this lady's porch, and she explodes. She curses and yells at us and tells us how she hates that preacher over there at Hastings Baptist Church. And so this was my first time doing that. I'd witnessed individually to people before, but this is the first time I'd gone door to door, and I'm kind of shaken as she's going after us. And then we get down off the steps, and I cannot believe it. She got in her car, and she cursed and swore at us for the next three houses down with her window rolled down. She was really going after us for that. But you know, as I think about it now, I really feel bad for her. I don't know what the preacher did or what that church did or what the situation was, but some people don't like their sins exposed, so they don't want to hear the gospel. Some people have been offended by a Christian or offended by a preacher. Some people just have their own ideas and don't want you interrupting or telling them something different at all. But one of the things that we must not be, is ashamed of the gospel. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll what? Hate you. There's some people who hate us, not because they hate us, but because they hate our Jesus. It also says, if there's some who accepted my word, they'll accept your word at all as well. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks, Romans 1:16. Isaac Watts, we sing some of his music. But Isaac Watts was also a preacher. And I've read one of his messages. It's called A Rational Defense of the Gospel, or Courage in Professing Christianity. And the text that he used was, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And writing back here the 1800s, here's what Isaac Watts said. My friend, this is an age wherein the gospel of our Redeemer meets with much contempt and opposition. Boy, if it was happening back then, guess what? And multiply that in our times today. He says, there are many who have been brought up in the Christian belief and worship that begin to be weary of Christ and his religion. They are endeavoring to find blemishes and defects in the sacred gospel and in that blessed word of God that reveals this grace to us. the divine truths that belong to this gospel meet with mockery and profane reproach from the deists and from unbelievers. I may call it, therefore, a day of rebuke and a day of blasphemy. God grant that we may never become a land of heathens again. Boy, I feel what's happening in the United States of America today as we are becoming a land of heathens. Those of us who believe this gospel from the heart have need of courage to maintain our profession of it, especially in some companies and conversations. We should prepare ourselves to encounter the false reasoning of unbelievers, as well as harden our faces against their ridicule. Let us therefore meditate on this sacred text, Romans 1:16, that each of us may pronounce boldly the words of the great apostle, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Man, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because I was a sinner headed to hell. And now, when I take my last breath on earth, glory, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, don't be alarmed when there's some people who don't like your message. Well, I've been here. One guy, "Get off my property, I'm going to shoot you." I said, "Okay, but I'll shoot back." And I turned around and we left. We left. I'm not there to antagonize anybody. But hey, I'm not ashamed for trying to share the gospel with him. I'm not ashamed to share the gospel with him. There's people who aren't going to like it. There's people who are going to really be upset with you. And if they can do anything to knife you in the back word-wise, if they can do something to get at you, if it's in your work situation, they'll try and do it. I know some of you have faced that at your work situation where you try and be a good witness for the cause of Christ, and then you have people who harass you and who deride you and who cause you all kinds of problems. And they say derogatory things about you. But remember, it is the power of God unto salvation. The word power there is the word dunamis. That's where we get our word dynamite. It means simply a force that is intrinsic within itself. The word of God is quick and what? Powerful. Powerful. That's what God uses. The word of God is powerful. Lace your witness with the word of God, because power resides in the word of God by virtue of its nature. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Praise the Lord for that. Well, I'm not ashamed to believe the gospel. I'm not ashamed to profess that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed to preach it to others. I'm not ashamed to defend it and contend for it as a soldier of Christ. And if it comes to us, I'm not ashamed to suffer, and if need be, to die as a martyr for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, as we review, I am a debtor. We have a debt because Jesus paid our debt that he didn't owe. I'm ready, I'm determined, I'm prepared, and I've memorized the gospel and portions of the scripture so that I can be a valid witness. and I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and I trust that you aren't either. So we close off our resurrection day with a challenge to share the gospel with those that are around us. In your Jerusalem, in your Judea, in your Samaria, and then wherever you end up. Not everybody's going to accept it. Old Mr. North, I've told you about him. I tried to witness to him for 2 years. And every time I went to talk to Mr. North, he always carried on about how he was ready because he was an Episcopal choir boy when he was young. Now, he hadn't been in church of any kind for years and years and years. And as far as I know, despite the numerous time I witnessed to Mr. North, he never came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. But you know what? The blood is not on my head. I tried to witness to him, and so to speak, as the saying goes, I got the last laugh. Because they didn't ask an Episcopal to do the funeral. They asked a young Baptist assistant pastor to do the funeral. And you know what I did? I shared the gospel. Just like those of you who have heard me do funerals here. Funerals are some of the best times and places to share the gospel because there's people there. There's the casket right there. And people oftentimes are pondering their own mortality. Now, that's been so many years ago, I do not know for sure, but I believe, if I even recall accurately, that there was one person who came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So while Mr. North didn't, I'm thankful that the gospel is powerful to everyone that believes. Amen? Let's pray.